Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at it. Chuck Rochow, halfway home on a Friday evening with you. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That is both our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show, and it's our phone line. So we're going to open up the phone lines to you here. We'll get your thoughts about this. Can Rashawn Evans, or I should say, can Troy Andersen replace the production from Rashawn Evans a year ago? So Rashawn Evans last year, you know, really kind of solidified that inside linebacker position for the Atlanta Falcons. And I kind of made a prediction that I thought that after seeing him in the preseason that I thought, okay, he's going to lead this team in tackles, and he certainly did. You know, and the Falcons have had some pretty good guys over the last few years that – have been the, you know, inside linebacker, the Foyer Olukuns, and you know, what's his name? Debo, Deion Jones, and obviously Rashawn Evans had a good year last year. 17 games played and started. He had two fumble recoveries, four passes defended, couple of sacks, and 159 combined tackles. 86 solo tackles, 73 assisted on, 6 tackles for loss, 3 quarterback hits. Andersen last year, believe it or not, and this kind of surprised me because I guess I didn't realize that even though he only started 5 games, and he did play in all 17 games last year, but even though he only started 5 games last year, he had 69 tackles combined, 40 solo, 29 assisted. He had 3 tackles for loss, 3 quarterback hits. He didn't register a sack. He had 1 pass defended and 1 forced fumble when all was said and done. And Rashawn Evans had a forced fumble as well. You know, obviously Andersen, a second-round pick, he was the Division II Defensive Player of the Year after he had played quarterback and everything on offense and converted to a defensive player. And, you know, now they're making a linebacker out of him. And, you know, when we talk about the inside linebacker position, it's a little bit different for this team, right? It's not a traditional middle linebacker, right? In a 4-3 type of defense, right? He's not Mike Singletary or Jack Lambert, you know, standing right behind the center, or sorry, standing right behind the nose tackle who's over the center, and it's not that kind of role. you know, we play more a 3-4 type of defense. So your inside guys are, you know, responsible for helping with the run and such like that. And you're letting your outside guys and, you know, those do the kinds of things where you get after the quarterback. But, you know, and again, Anderson, a guy who can drop back in coverage. That's one of the things about Michael Walker that he's been really good at. And Walker, by the way, finished third on the team in tackles with 107 combined tackles. You know, that's one of the things that he does really well. And we do have, look, Troy Anderson's a freakish athlete. When you talk about, you know, guys who can really help you in pass coverage, you would like to think that Anderson and certainly Walker can do all of that. Anderson is a freakish athlete. At times you saw last year, he got a little bit lost out there. Now that's going to happen, right? I mean, that can definitely happen when you know, you get a rookie out there and you start to get him some space and stuff like that. But I thought Anderson did some nice things for this team. Thought he did some nice things defensively. And it feels like that they're going to give him an increased role on this. I mean, obviously they have confidence in him because they didn't sign Rashawn Evans. Now, could they still? Oh, who knows? Maybe. I mean, I don't even know if Rashawn is a I haven't seen if he signed with anybody. But certainly, you know, they look at him as a guy who can replace that kind of production. Be that middle linebacker who can go sideline to sideline, who can help out in coverage, who's physical enough and strong enough to come up and help in the run game. You know, they look at him as a guy who can do a lot of different things, right? We keep hearing about this preaching of versatility, right? Positionless football and all these other kinds of things. So it seems like that he's a guy that fits into what they want to do defensively. Athletic, fast, physical, right? Those kinds of players out there. And look, Rashawn Evans was a guy that Dean Pease raved about when he got here last year. You know, Dean Pease made no bones about it that that was a guy that he really wanted. You know, from his time in Tennessee, that was a guy that he really wanted on this roster. And he talked about the idea of, you know, being an underrated player and just, you know, was surprised that he was available and this, that, and the other. But I think they look at Troy Anderson now moving forward, that he can fill that role and fill that void and be that kind of impact middle linebacker. And I would not be surprised if Troy Anderson doesn't lead this team in tackles when all is said and done. Evans had the most tackles. Grant had the second most, then Michael Walker, Jalen Hawkins, and then Troy Anderson right behind, you know, the two safeties and Evans and Michael Walker. So 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Let's go out to Mark out in College Park. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, great show, man.
Thank you.
It made me think, man. I saw an interview one time with Ray Lewis. I'm not comparing him to Ray Lewis or anything, but I've never played football due to medical issues. But he always said he won that Super Bowl because of his defensive line. So I'm thinking Troy Anderson, I'm hoping he's going to be free to roam and just tag folks because that D-line is going to free up those linebackers, man. And I really think he's going to have a good season this year. I wasn't a big fan of the pick, but I think he's going to be a beast this year, man. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. And, Mark, you know, when you look at his athleticism, right, I mean, you know, the fact that he played quarterback, he was an offensive player. I mean, the fact that he is this freakish athlete, to your point, that if that defensive line can create some havoc up front, then these guys are and Michael Walker's a little different type of linebacker, right? He's more of a speed guy. He's got a nose for the football, coverage guy, not necessarily the most physical guy. Troy Anderson's a physical guy. He can come up and he can thump you and he can come up and play against the run. He can do the other things too. He's got the speed and the quickness to be able to run around with guys, but he can come up and really help in the run game and become a physical presence. And I think that's what they're looking for. I think that, you know, when they draft, and look, they spent high draft capital on Troy Anderson, right? But when you draft a guy in the second round, I don't care if it was, you know, whatever pick it was in the second. When you draft a guy in the second round, you're thinking that guy is pretty high, right? I mean, you think that he's got a high ceiling to it, and you see the athleticism out of him, right? You see that he's got the athletic ability to do some different things. And I don't disagree with you. I think Troy Andersen, if he can put it all together, he's certainly got the ability to be a real high-impact player. And, you know, to your point, you know, if that defensive line up front can do its job, if they can, you know, get after the quarterback, blow up plays in the run game, get themselves in the backfield, yeah, there's no reason why, you know, he can't lead this team in tackles this upcoming season. And, look, I'll be interested to see what his pro Football Focus gray looks like just as far as coverage and things like that. Because I think that they want him to, much like Walker, when you talk about these inside guys, they want them to be able to run around and be able to cover people as well and kind of free up what your outside guys can do to be able to get after the quarterback, right? You know, let those guys get after the quarterback, but your middle linebackers, your inside guys, need to be able to be free and roam around and cover guys that are coming out of the backfield. And I think Andersen and Walker have that ability, that they've got the speed and they've got the ability to be good coverage guys. So we'll see. I mean, it's interesting when you look at it. You know, he had more tackles than Grady Jarrett, more tackles than Lorenzo Carter. And Lorenzo Carter played 75% of the snaps last season. You know, Carter was a guy who played a bunch of snaps on this team. He had the 4 sacks, but 58 tackles, 12 quarterback hits, and 6 tackles for loss. But, you know, Andersen was a guy who, you know, had the 69 tackles last year. May not have had the sacks, but certainly he was a guy who was all over the field making plays. And I think that that's what they're looking for out of him, that he's this versatile type of linebacker, right? And remember, we heard that about Deion Jones, right? That Deion Jones for a few years was what the NFL was looking for in linebackers. He was a guy who could run around, make plays. He could cover guys. He was good enough. He wasn't the most physical guy, but he could come up and help in the run game. But he was the kind of linebacker who used his speed and quickness and made plays on the field. And, you know, whether it was intercepting a pass, whether it was, you know, being good in coverage or what have you, you know, he was a guy that was looked at for a few years there, that he was the new breed of linebacker. Well, maybe Troy Andersen could be that kind of guy. Maybe he's a guy that can be that new breed and new hybrid type of linebacker, where he's physical enough, he's got the physicality and the speed to get some plays done. So, when I read about Troy Andersen, and I didn't really know about Troy Andersen, I'll fully admit that, you know, again, much like everybody else, I didn't really know a lot about him. But the more I read about his profile and just what he had done and all the things he had accomplished and just the kind of player that he was, you know, he's a really strong guy. I mean, just reading all the things about him, you know, you kind of liked him and rooted for him, right? And comes from a small school, and, you know, we talked about last night on the show that, you know, he's got a football camp out in, you know, what, Montana? And, you know, I'm sure that it's not exactly the enrollment of Valdosta High or something like that, right, in Montana. But still, I mean, you know, kind of a, you know, humble kind of guy and just, you know, doing his thing, and, you know, we'll see if he can step up and make the plays. And, again, when you look at the top tacklers on this team, Evans had 17 starts. Grant had 17 starts. Michael Walker had 12 starts. Jalen Hawkins had 16 starts. Grady Jarrett had 17 starts. Lorenzo Carter had 17 starts. 14 starts for A.J. Terrell, and that was only because of the injury. But then you see Troy Andersen with only 5 starts, and he still finished 5th on this team in tackles. 5th on the team in tackles overall. And you know, again, when, you know, guys like Adi Ogundeji and such, you know, didn't have really good years, you know, he stepped up. I mean, I thought he had a pretty good rookie year. Again, he was lost at times. When you see him out there, he did look lost at times. He did look like that, you know, it was a symptom of probably not having played football at that high, not just a pro game, but, you know, again, there is a difference between the SEC and the Big Sky or whatever, you know? There's a difference between those classes of teams and such like that. And sometimes those guys have a hard time transitioning to the NFL, right? You know, sometimes those guys are such freakish athletes that they transcend everything. Like they don't, it doesn't really matter, you know, what level that guy played. You know, Steve McNair, remember DeMarcus Ware? You know, it wouldn't have mattered if he played NAIA football. He was a freakish athlete. He was going to be a dominant player at the pro level. But some of those guys don't always translate, right? I mean, let's face it. I mean, Trey Lance has been a guy I know he's been injured, but hasn't really translated into that yet. He's not been Steve McNair. Now, I know the injuries have slowed him down, but, you know, sometimes those guys have trouble adjusting to the level of competition that they're at. But it looked like, you know, and again, I say it, Troy Andersen at times did look lost out there. He looked like he didn't know where he was supposed to be and would blow coverages and things like that. But you saw enough potential in the plays that he did make that, again, he could be a steadying force at that inside linebacker position. So we'll see if it ends up happening. I mean, he's going to get his opportunity, and I think they have a lot of confidence in him because the fact that they didn't resign Evans tells you a lot about what they thought about the development of Troy Andersen. What is this? Krugs?
Yeah.
Right?
Kungs. Yeah.
Kungs. Yeah. 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 This is a good song.
Yeah.
So this was a banger back about, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah. This is one of those songs where, like, you know, if you're in Vegas or just somewhere where it's your complete vacation, complete partying, and it comes on and you're just feeling it.
They sampled this song. Like, that. Like this, if you hear the original version of this song, this kind of jazz group that this is like a jazz group,
right,
that sings the song. Like it's a girl and a couple of guys sing. It's a very different sounding song than what this is.
And with then this, he's
because Krungs is a what, Swedish DJ or something like that. And
yep.
You know, he's a I don't know, a one of those like what, techno DJs or whatever like that.
So, yep.
Anyway. All right, that's life coming back. I'm gonna give Day-Day, because a website had the top 20 songs by Prince ranked. That'll be up next, plus our top 10. Chuck and the Key Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Radio 92.9 The Game, back at it. Chuck Rich Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios. 9:22. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app site, you catch us on the go. Social media is at 9:29 The Game, at JMSH316, at the D Lewis for real. Don't forget, rank 'em. Coming up at 10:40. All right, Day-Day. So this comes from, see if you agree with this, Far Out Magazine.
Okay.
Which I think is a British publication. Okay. They rank the, this is from Tom Taylor and Jack Watley.
Okay.
They rank the top 20 Prince songs of all time.
Okay.
So you see, tell me what you think about this list. All right, at number 20, Nothing Compares to You. 19, Let's Go Crazy. 18, Sexy MF. 17, Pop Life. 16, Baltimore. 15, Soft and Wet. 14, Money Doesn't Matter Tonight. 3, Sign of the Times. It's a good song, by the way. Yeah, underrated song. Number 12, Screwdriver. Number 11, I Would Die for You. Number 10, Raspberry Beret. Number 9, Mountains. Number 8, When Doves Cry. Number 7, Kiss. Number 6, Little Red Corvette. Number 5, 1999. Number 4, Darling Nikki. Number 3, I Could Never Take the Place of Your Man. Number 2, The Beautiful Ones. And number 1, Purple Rain. What do you think about that list?
The songs are all deserving to be on the list. For me personally, a song like Pop Life probably would have been a little higher. I love Pop Life. I like where Raspberry Beret was. There's some songs, though, that, like, he's got songs like Seduction. I mean, not Seduction. In fact, what is it? Insatiable.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear Insatiable on there.
Well, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Controversy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that wasn't on there.
Controversy that, wasn't on
Controversy
there.
Controversy is my favorite Prince song of all time. Where is, Erotic City.
Yep, Erotic City's not on there.
Where is either like Cream or Seven from the
Cream
new, from,
definitely should be on
from
there.
From the new Power Generation, yep. Right? When he did all that stuff. Yep. So there's some songs.
Diamonds
that,
and Pearls, I wouldn't have been mad at.
Diamonds and Pearls, yeah, yep. Been on there. Yeah, so there's some songs on there that Now, look.
His catalog is so
oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, it's going to almost be hard to narrow it down.
I would tell you that I don't think 1999 is a top five song of his.
No.
I don't think I could. I mean, I like I Could Never Take the Place of Your Man, but I don't think that's a top three song. What's the other one? Oh, gosh. Man. I'm missing. There's another one that probably should have been on that that
was
list.
Darlin' Nikki's not on.
Darlin' Nikki's number four.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And You Got the Look. What's the man I'm trying to find here? Baby, I'm a Star. That wouldn't be a bad one to be on there as well. Alphabet Street's not a bad song. Gosh, what's the other one that I'm looking for? Figures when you can't.
Right, because his catalog. I mean, there are so many. Like you could probably pick just any.
I
want to
be your lover.
I want to be your. That definitely should be. That could really be number one.
Well, I mean, that's not even
number one.
That's not even on the top 20.
Wow, because that was the album with the where he's got the hair.
Yeah, it's the album called Prince.
Prince, yes.
Yeah, the album called Prince. So, you know, again, that's so. There's a few omissions.
Yeah.
That are on this list that kind of make me scratch my head. So, anyway. Couple of auction items that I thought were interesting, Day-Day. Mm-hmm. An unreleased pair of Air Jordan number 2 prototypes is going up for auction. So, following the success of the Air Jordan 1, Nike's Jordan brand mm-hmm. had the heavy task of creating a follow-up. And this prototype of the Air Jordan 2s... And bidding has only started at $525, but I can guarantee you that that's going to be way up there. But before the Air Jordan 2 design that we know today, there was a prototype that continued more elements of the AJ1. The unreleased Air Jordan 2 prototype is defined by the use of faux reptile skin leather, high top ankle, molded heel counters, upper perforations, eyelets, and the first notable appearance of Jordan brand wings motif. Offering a chance to win an interesting part of Michael Jordan's signature shoe in history, the shoe in a black and white colorway marked the weathering by weathering is now up for auction. So these don't look like Air Jordans at all, these prototype shoes. But I'll bet you they sell for gazillions of dollars.
Of course.
Yeah. Jim Brown's got a piece of memorabilia. How about this one?
Oh, man.
The helmet that Jim Brown wore his senior year at Syracuse is being auctioned off. So it's the actual helmet that Jim Brown used at Syracuse. It's got a glass face mask on, or like a plastic face mask, just like a bar face mask. Like, it's a thick piece of almost like what looks like glass as the mm-hmm. face mask. He's autographed it, Jim Brown number 44, which is important because, again, he wore 32 in the NFL, but this is his Syracuse number, and this thing is awesome looking. It's his helmet that he wore in his senior year, where he should have been the Heisman Trophy winner. Should have won the Heisman Trophy over Paul Hornung.
Yeah. But I guess my only gripe with this whole thing is, like, why the fact that you're auctioning it off now.
Well,
like, I mean, I get it, but...
Well, again, it's going to bring in a gazillion dollars. That's why.
I mean, just imagine if he held on to it a little longer, though.
Well, I'm surprised it's not in the Hall of Fame or something. I mean, I know let me put it this way.
Well, who has it, I guess?
I don't know. Probably some private collector or something like that. Probably some friend of Jim Brown's or something like that. I mean, I would love to see this in the College Football Hall of Fame, right? I would love to see this in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Definitely.
But it's definitely a piece of memorabilia that's pretty cool to look at. All right, happy birthday to Dookie V today, Dick Vitale's birthday. Look, again, I've taken my shots at Dick Vitale, but There has been nobody in college basketball that is more responsible for the growth and the popularity of the sport. You can say what you want about Dickie V, but in his heyday, in his prime, he was at the top of his game, and he was one of the most recognizable color analysts in any sport in the country. And I give him all the credit in the world for the popularity boom of college basketball. He was right there at the forefront to it. So, with that, tonight's top 10 list. Your top 10 favorite college or pro basketball color analysts of all time. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
All right, well, of course, I do have Dick Vitale on my list. I've also got Doug Collins. I like Doug Collins.
I have Doug Collins on my... I thought Doug Collins was a really good... Yeah. Broadcaster.
Yes, he was.
I really liked Doug Collins when he was doing games.
Yes. I know he had his troubles, but I mean, he's still legendary. Marv Albert. I actually like Jeff Van Gundy. And I really like when, you know, him and Mark Jackson together. I don't know. Maybe I mean, and it could be just because I'm a Mark Jackson fan.
Okay.
But to me, just the way they clown each other, I think it's the clowning of each other during the games that it just I get a chuckle out of them two together. I don't know how much you got to hear him, but Chick Hearn, former Lakers.
Okay.
He passed away. When did Chick Hearn pass away?
So that's who Steve Holman's chasing.
Yes.
For consecutive
yes,
games.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, going to high school out west, used to hear a lot of...
He was
the
Lakers play-by-play.
Yeah, used to hear a lot of Chick Hearn. Hubie Brown, I do like Hubie Brown.
I've got Hubie on my list. I think Hubie is my favorite basketball announcer of all time. He's my favorite color analyst of all time. I love Hubie Brown.
Yep. Clark Kellogg.
Yeah. Pride of Cleveland St. Joe's High School.
Yep. Believe it or not, I've got Chris Webber. I think Chris Webber does a pretty good job when he's on. And then Jimmy Jackson. I also have Jimmy.
That's my guy from Toledo, Macomber.
Yep. And then Kevin Harlan.
Okay. All right. My color analyst, favorites of all time. Vitale is on my list. Hubie's on my list. Doug Collins is on my list. Jay Billis is on my list. I like Jay Billis.
Is cool. I think he went to Duke, so that's why I don't like him. No, I'm just kidding.
Bill Walton. Bill Walton has got to
be on
that list.
Yeah, he's good. Say what you want to say. He's great.
I'm a big fan of Reggie Miller. I think Reggie Miller does
Reggie's
a really good
job.
I think Reggie Miller does a really good job.
Yep.
These are kind of Homer picks, okay? Tommy Heinsohn.
Okay.
Now, again, he was with Dick Stockton on the CBS game. He's just funny. Like, he's nuts and he's crazy. Now again, he's a Celtic, so I don't like the Celtics, but Tommy Heinsohn was fabulous, and Steve Jones, another guy just phenomenal when he would do on NBC, especially when he was on and TNT as well. So, and then my last two that I've got, believe it or not, I do have Doris Burke on my list. I really like Doris Burke. I think she does a really good job.
She does. And I'm used to her now, but I think in the beginning, her voice, it just took me some time to get used to it.
But you know what, though?
But she is good at what she does.
Right. Here's the thing, and I'm going to be a hater, okay? So I'm going to prep everybody for being a hater, okay? But she is a lot different than when I hear Beth Mowins or Pam Ward or somebody like that, right? Like, she's got a different kind of style to her and just a different... She comes across as more knowledgeable in what she does.
And that's what I like. Like I said, it took me a while because after you listen... You hear that. Look, she knows what she's talking about.
Right.
And it wasn't so much that her voice, because she does have a deeper voice for a woman, but I think it was just her delivery. It was very, almost, I don't want to say robotic, but it was very, I don't know how to say it, but it took me some while. But again, her knowledge of the game, she definitely could have been on my list.
And another guy I'm a big fan of is the czar of the telestrator, Mike Fratello.
Mike Fratello, yes.
Mike Fratello.
I mean,
You know, I thought him and Marv Albert were a great team.
They were.
Yeah, you know, they were a great team on those NBC games, right? Obviously, Fratello called a lot of NBA finals with the Bulls and stuff like that. But I always really liked Mike Fratello. I mean, two former Hawks coaches, you know, Hubie and Mike Fratello. Yeah. Those guys were phenomenal on the microphone, as well as obviously two really good coaches.
Yeah, I was going to say Fratello. I just loved him just for the simple fact that he was a Hawks coach. So I mean,
him and Hubie, baby.
Yeah.
All right, when we get back, Stan Autry joined us earlier in the show, golf writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We chop it up about what the PGA Tour is going to look like moving forward, LIV Golf, and all that good kind of stuff. By the way, you've seen the reports now on Twitter that LIV is going away. Like, it's probably not even going to survive the year. That supposedly the reports are now that Greg Norman is not going to be a part of LIV anymore. He's not going to be part of their team going forward. And it looks like that LIV is probably not going to survive the year.
This when is all just is getting done. Messy.
So, So what he had to say next, Dan Autry, Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game, theodyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Friday evening with you. Getting ready for some Braves baseball as A.J. Smith-Shawver is going to make his debut tonight against the Washington Nationals. So we'll keep you up to date all night long about what goes on with the Atlanta Braves. Well, a lot of news and there's been a lot of finger-pointing in the world of golf here lately. And, you know, listen, won't be very long before we get to our next major here coming up. So, obviously, the major schedule condensed nowadays in the world of golf. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Longtime golf writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Stan Autry, is joining us. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Stan Autry. Stan, appreciate the time. Thanks for a few minutes here on the show with us this evening. So, we thank you. And it's been a crazy whirlwind last week or so in the world of golf with all the news being made.
It has been, and I was on a trip with some other golf writers, and we were sitting around having lunch on Tuesday when the news broke. We were all just kind of gobsmacked. I mean, no one saw that coming. It just, like, no one at all.
You know, if I guess the only thing that I will give Jay Monahan credit for is at least he was honest about the contentiousness of the meeting that they had, where he said literally, you know, it was heated, it was argumentative. I mean, I guess, you know, when the leader of this thing comes out and says all of that, I mean, again, it probably was five times worse than what he even said it was.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have expected it to be sunshine and lollipops out of that meeting. There had to be a lot of angry people. And I think you've heard some of that boil over, and rightfully so. Those guys have a lot to be angry about.
So what do you think that the Saudis' role, besides the money investment aspect of it, how much influence, what do you think the role of the Saudis is going to be in all of this?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I think that's something that's going to have to sort itself out. But the main thing is the money. I mean, the PGA Tour during the pandemic continued to have, you know, tournaments, and there were no people there, and they put them, you know, they were left in a pretty much financial hole. Then when LIV came around, they had to start throwing money around, and I think a lot of it was money they just didn't have or didn't know where it was going to come from. So I think it was all about money.
Stan Autry, golf writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. I know this is a dumb question, and I know the answer to it already, but do you think that there's going to be any blowback from networks or anything like that about the PGA getting into bed with the you know, Saudi, the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund. I mean, is there going to be any of this blowback from the TV network standpoint?
I don't think so. I think, again, that there's so much. It's all about money when you get to this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's about the green thing. And as long as they're making money, I don't think they really care. It may be hypocritical of them. They may complain about it, but they're going to stick the money in their bank accounts and in their pockets as fast as they can.
I mean, look, we saw Rory McIlroy about in some others, you know, talking about, you know, Rory thinks that the LIV tournament itself is going to go away and he hates LIV and all this, that, and the other. But I don't know. I mean, do the players have any real kind of stand in any of this thing? I mean, can the players be an influence in this, or, you know, are they just kind of at the mercy of what, you know, the PGA and all these groups are going to end up being?
Yeah, I don't think the players have much say in it. I mean, they had hand when this other tour came around, but I think that's gone. And the guys that jumped, you know, a lot of them made a lot of money. And the ones that didn't, who were loyal, like Rory, they played their hand and they're stuck with what they got. So I don't know that they've got going to have any influence at all. I think they're just going to have to take what's given to them. Now, I don't know if LIV's going to be around more than, you know, what it already is. I don't know how that's – I don't know how they're going to coexist with two different tours, two different formats, 54 holes, 72 holes, team, not team. Who knows what that's going to shake down? And I can't see that being around for much, much longer.
So do you think that there's a chance that there could be some tournaments that maybe go away in the United States and there becomes a much more international presence? I mean, I know obviously golf is played all around the world and there are all kinds of tournaments across the, you know, across the globe, but you know, could there be a, if the Saudis kind of are the money people, could there be the possibility of, you know, more of an international influence in the world of golf, or do you think things will kind of stay the status quo?
Yeah, I think it's going to stay pretty much the status quo because there are already tournaments that exist in that part of the world. The European tours had several stops in, you know, Dubai and places like that for years. So I don't think that the U.S. tour will be condensed. In fact, I think if anything, they may take some of that excess time around the holidays, the silly season, and add more events around there. So I think you may see more events, but I don't think there will be any more international events on the U.S. tour.
Stan Autry, golf writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So let me ask you this then, because – look, I'm an older guy, and I grew up in an era where you saw most of the stars play in a pretty fairly regular basis. I mean, you know, and maybe not always the tippy-top guys, but, you know, by and large, I mean, guys had to play a lot more because, you know, they weren't making as much money as they have in the Tiger era now. But is it good for the game of golf if the product becomes watered down and we don't see the star power? I mean, and I'm not talking about necessarily like Tiger Woods because of his injuries and things like that. I'm talking about, you know, the guys that are the Dustin Johnsons and things like that where, look, there's no motivation to play 50 times a year because they make enough money in 8 or 10 tournaments to, you know, they got more money than the federal government. I mean, so, you know, there seems to be an effect that it could be a watered down kind of product if the game is actually expanding and you don't see kind of the star power to it.
Well, that's kind of what it has become when they added these cut events on the PGA Tour, the heightened, I'm blanking on the name of the, there's certain events that are, you're worth more points or no cuts. They've already done that to a degree. And so the big name guys are playing in all of those. And they're skipping things like the Canadian Open, you know, which is this week. If you look at the leaderboard, it's not a, you know, it's not the same as some of the other events. So it's already that way to a certain degree. I don't know if it'll get any worse or not.
Stan, I mean, do you think that there's a chance that the influence from the Saudis comes from the idea of they throw gazillions of dollars at a specific tournament in, you know, their home country or some or whatever, Dubai or wherever, and they pull in these big names. I mean, we know Tiger obviously has done things in Dubai and such like that, but do you think that they almost kind of make like an all-star event or just something where, you know, the way you get these guys motivated is money, right? So, you know, could you see a situation where they throw gobs of money at players to come play in a specific event, even like with the Deutsche Bank tournament that Tiger plays in and stuff like that? You know, maybe that kind of tournament where you get the stars out, but you're paying gazillions of dollars for them.
Yeah, and for years, the PGA Tour prohibited the players from accepting appearance money. The European Tour did not. So if the European Tour wanted a guy that they wanted to pay back in the day, Nick Faldo, you know, $500,000 to show up, they could do it. They could not do that in the United States. But now with the designated tournaments that they have with more money than you can ever imagine, you're making $3 million to win instead of $1.5 million, and there's no cut. You know, you play in 10 of those a year, and you ain't going to be hurt.
You know, Stan, is there any losers in this? I mean, eventually, as all the money flows in and everybody's going to make a gazillion dollars, is there any loser in this scenario?
Well, I would say Jay Monahan would be a loser, but he retained, I mean, he's going to be the CEO of the new thing, so I don't know how much, you know, he's got his authority and his power that he began with, but I think he lost a lot of his footing with a lot of the players on the tour, that he sold the idea to, we're going to go head-to-head against these guys, and we hate them, and we're going to destroy them, and then all of a sudden, we love them when we're playing together again. So I think he lost a lot of face there.
Yeah, I'm sure
he's the loser.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I'm sure Jay Monahan, when he, you know, starts cashing those checks, he's going to be wiping his tears with $100 bills. You know, he'll be wiping his eyes with all the cash that he's, or he'll make a bed full of cash and just, you know, I look at this thing and. And I hate to be this way, Stan, but I look at it as like, are we losing kind of one of the things that makes Americana sports great, that, you know, we're going to have this kind of international influence? And, you know, again, I know golf wasn't invented here or anything like that, but again, the PGA and, you know, USGA and all that, I mean, you know, that's very Americana. You know, are we going to lose some of that with this international influence that, you know, is going to be felt from the Saudis and from around the world?
Well, let's see how it ends up, you know, it's going to end up playing out one way or the other. And I think we're not going to notice a whole lot as far as that. I think it's still going to look the same. And we'll still see Rory and we'll still see Scottie Scheffler. And the Masters will be the Masters. But we'll see how it filters down to some of the smaller fields, some of the smaller venues, and the guys who are trying to keep their card every year. And those are the guys I think are going to feel the effects more than anybody else.
Last question for you, Stan. Do you think that there'll be any pushback from players? I mean, we know we've heard and guys, you know, Rory saying the things that he said, but I mean, you know, words are one thing, actions are another. Do you think that there will be any actions by players or any pushback about not wanting to participate in some of these events?
It could be, but they're so obligated to do what they do. I'm not sure what the limits of their protest could be. And I think, you know, they're like me and you. If somebody's hanging out a big paycheck out there for them, they're going to be chasing it. So there's always that. It's just so much money out there right now. It's, you know, people are grabbing every dollar they can. They're going to make – it's like in Breaking Bad where they had the guy making the snow angels with all the money in the closet. That's kind of what it's going to be like.
Yeah, I'm regretting now in life that I didn't become a golfer. So
I regret a lot of times that I am. So we're even.
Stan Autry is the golf writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can follow him on his Twitter page, at Stan Autry, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Stan, really appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes with us here, and listen, continued success.
Enjoy it, John. Have a good rest of your night.
You got it. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at it, Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Friday evening with you. Getting ready for some Braves baseball as A.J. Smith-Shawver is going to make his debut tonight against the Washington Nationals. So we'll keep you up to date all night long about what goes on with the Atlanta Braves. Well, a lot of news, and there's been a lot of finger-pointing in the world of golf here lately. And, you know, listen, won't be very long before we get to our next major here coming up. So, obviously, the major schedule condensed nowadays in the world of golf. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Longtime golf writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Stan Autry, is joining us. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Stan Autry. Stan, appreciate the time. Thanks for a few minutes here on the show with us this evening. So, we thank you, and it's been a crazy whirlwind last week or so in the world of golf with all the news being made.
It has been, and I was on a trip with some other golf writers, and we were sitting around having lunch on Tuesday when the news broke. We were all just kind of gobsmacked. I mean, no one saw that coming. It just, like, no one at all.
You know, if I guess the only thing that I will give Jay Monahan credit for is at least he was honest about the contentiousness of the meeting that they had, where he said literally, you know, it was heated, it was argumentative. I mean, I guess, you know, when the leader of this thing comes out and says all of that, I mean, again, it probably was five times worse than what he even said it was.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have expected it to be sunshine and lollipops out of that meeting. There had to be a lot of angry people. And I think you've heard some of that boil over, and rightfully so. Those guys have a lot to be angry about.
So what do you think that the Saudis' role, besides the money investment aspect of it, how much influence, what do you think the role of the Saudis is going to be in all of this?
That's an interesting question, and I think that's something that's going to have to sort itself out. But the main thing is the money. I mean, the PGA Tour during the pandemic continued to have, you know, tournaments, and there were no people there, and they put them, you know, they were left in a pretty much financial hole. Then when LIV came around, they had to start throwing money around, and I think a lot of it was money they just didn't have or didn't know where it was going to come from. So I think it was all about money.
Stan Autry, golf writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. I know this is a dumb question, and I know the answer to it already, but do you think that there's going to be any blowback from networks or anything like that about the PGA getting into bed with the, you know, the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund? I mean, is there going to be any of this blowback from the TV network standpoint?
I don't think so. I think, again, that there's so much. It's all about money when you get to this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's about the green thing. And as long as they're making money, I don't think they really care. It may be hypocritical of them. They may complain about it, but they're going to stick the money in their bank accounts and in their pockets as fast as they can.
I mean, look, we saw Rory McIlroy about in some others, you know, talking about, you know, Rory thinks that the LIV tournament itself is going to go away and he hates LIV and all this, that, and the other. But I don't know. I mean, do the players have any real kind of stand in any of this thing? I mean, can the players be an influence in this, or, you know, are they just kind of at the mercy of what, you know, the PGA and all these groups are going to end up being?
Yeah, I don't think the players have much say in it. I mean, they had hand when this other tour came around, but I think that's gone. And the guys that jumped, you know, a lot of them made a lot of money, and the ones that didn't, who were loyal, like Rory, they played their hand and they're stuck with what they got. So I don't know that they've got going to have any influence at all. I think they're just going to have to take what's given to them. Now, I don't know if LIV's going to be around more than, you know, what it already is. I don't know how that's. I don't know how they're going to coexist with two different tours, two different formats, 54 holes, 72 holes, team, not team. Who knows what that's going to shake down? And I can't see that being around for much longer.
So, do you think that there's a chance that there could be some tournaments that maybe go away in the United States and there becomes a much more international presence? I mean, I know obviously golf is played all around the world and there are all kinds of tournaments across the, you know, across the globe, but, you know, could there be a, if the Saudis kind of are the money people, could there be the possibility of, you know, more of an international influence in the world of golf, or do you think things will kind of stay the status quo?
Yeah, I think it's going to stay pretty much the status quo because there are already tournaments that exist in that part of the world. The European tours had several stops in, you know, Dubai and places like that for years. So I don't think that the U.S. tour will be condensed. In fact, I think if anything, they may take some of that excess time around the holidays, the silly season, and add more events around there. So I think you may see more events, but I don't think there will be any more international events on the U.S. tour.
Stan Autry, golf writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So let me ask you this then, because, look, I'm an older guy, and I grew up in an era where you saw most of the stars play in a pretty fairly regular basis. I mean, you know, and maybe not always the tippy-top guys, but, you know, by and large, I mean, guys had to play a lot more because, you know, they weren't making as much money as they have in the Tiger era now. But is it good for the game of golf if the product becomes watered down and we don't see the star power? I mean, and I'm not talking about necessarily like Tiger Woods because of his injuries and things like that. I'm talking about, you know, the guys that are the Dustin Johnsons and things like that where, look, there's no motivation to play 50 times a year because they make enough money in 8 or 10 tournaments to, you know, to they got more money than the federal government. I mean, so, you know, there seems to be an effect that it could be a watered down kind of product if the game is actually expanding and you don't see kind of the star power to it.
Well, that's kind of what it has become when they added these cut events on the PGA Tour, the heightened, I'm blanking on the name of the, there's certain events that are, you're worth more points or no cuts. They've already done that to a degree. And so the big name guys are playing in all of those, and they're skipping things like the Canadian Open, you know, which is this week. If you look at the leaderboard, it's not a, you know, it's not the same as some of the other events. So it's already that way to a certain degree. I don't know if it'll get any worse or not.
Stan, I mean, do you think that there's a chance that the influence from the Saudis comes from the idea of they throw gazillions of dollars at a specific tournament in, you know, their home country or some or whatever, Dubai or wherever, and they pull in these big names? I mean, we know Tiger obviously has done things in Dubai and such like that, but do you think that they almost kind of make like an all-star event or just something where, you know, the way you get these guys motivated is money, right? So, you know, could you see a situation where they throw gobs of money at players to come play in a specific event, even like with the Deutsche Bank tournament that Tiger plays in and stuff like that? You know, maybe that kind of tournament where you get the stars out, but you're paying gazillions of dollars for them.
Yeah, and for years, the PGA Tour prohibited the players from accepting appearance money. The European Tour did not. So if the European Tour wanted a guy that they wanted to play back, pay back in the day, Nick Faldo, you know, $500,000 to show up, they could do it. They could not do that in the United States. But now with the designated tournaments that they have with more money than you can ever imagine, you're making $3 million to win instead of $1.5 million, and there's no cut. You know, you play in 10 of those a year, and you ain't going to be hurt.
You know, Stan, is there any losers in this? I mean, eventually, as all the money flows in and everybody's going to make a gazillion dollars, is there any loser in this scenario?
Well, I would say Jay Monahan would be a loser, but he retained, I mean, he's going to be the CEO of the new thing. So I don't know how much, you know, he's got his authority and his power that he began with, but I think he lost a lot of, his footing with a lot of the players on the tour that he sold the idea to. We're going to go head to head against these guys and we hate them and we're going to destroy them. And then, all of a sudden, we love them when we're playing together again. So I think he lost a lot of face there.
Yeah, I'm sure
he's the loser.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I'm sure Jay Monahan, when he, you know, starts cashing those checks, he's going to be wiping his tears with $100 bills. You know, he'll be wiping his eyes with all the cash that he's, or he'll make a bed full of cash and just, you know, I look at this thing and. And I hate to be this way, Jay, or sorry, Stan, but I look at it as like, are we losing kind of one of the things that makes Americana sports great, that, you know, we're going to have this kind of international influence? And, you know, again, I know golf wasn't invented here or anything like that, but again, the PGA and, you know, USGA and all that, I mean, you know, that's very Americana. You know, are we going to lose some of that with this international influence that, you know, is going to be felt from the Saudis and from around the world?
Well, let's see how it ends up, you know, it's going to end up playing out one way or the other. And I think we're not going to notice a whole lot as far as that. I think it's still going to look the same. And we'll still see Rory and we'll still see Scottie Scheffler, and the Masters will be the Masters. But we'll see how it filters down to some of the smaller fields, some of the smaller venues, and the guys who are trying to keep their card every year. Those are the guys I think are going to feel the effects more than anybody else.
Last question for you, Stan. Do you think that there'll be any pushback from players? I mean, we know we've heard, and guys, you know, Rory saying the things that he said, but, I mean, you know, words are one thing, actions are another. Do you think that there will be any actions by players or any pushback about not wanting to participate in some of these events?
It could be, but they're so obligated to do what they do. I'm not sure what their what the limits of their protest could be. And I think, you know, they're like me and you. If somebody's hanging out a big paycheck out there for them, they're going to be chasing it. So there's always that. it's just so much money out there right now. It's, you know, people are grabbing every dollar they can. They're going to make – it's like in Breaking Bad where they had the guy making the snow angels with all the money in, mm-hmm. in the closet. That's kind of what it's going to be like.
Yeah, I'm regretting now in life that I didn't become a golfer. So
I regret a lot of times that I am. So we're even.
Stan Autry is the golf writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can follow him on his Twitter page, at Stan Autry, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Stan, really appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes with us here, and listen, continued success.
Enjoy it, John. Have a good rest of your night.
You got it. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.